were watching the energy sector and yesterday's big sell-off, one of the few there, in fact, the only one, when we were looking to hold up in the green. Today, though, when we look at Brent prices, they're slightly giving back a bit of the gains here. As supply and demand issues continue to work themselves out in the pandemic, we've heard more and more calls to see peak oil, perhaps spike prices here, not just in oil, but also gas across the globe. And for more on what the outlook looks like, happy to bring on Bob Iacino back with us today, Pat Trading Partners co-founder and chief market strategist, as well as the Stock Think Tank co-portfolio manager. And Bob, I mean, when we look at it, it is interesting because we saw Goldman Sachs call this a while ago, earlier this year, calling for $80 oil, now upping it to 90. I mean, when you kind of digest what's going on with the supply and demand dynamics, talk to me about what you see for prices ahead.
Well, good afternoon. Specifically in oil, I think the three-digit price target from Bank of America is very disturbing in the short term in terms of transitory inflation or non-transitory inflation. And again, I still don't know what the Fed means in terms of the length of that transition. But that's the biggest fear to me. And I think people are a little, maybe not realizing how much the energy shortage that's based on winter, and if we have a harsh winter in Europe, in the northeast of the U.S., could affect crude oil prices as well, simply because the demand for heating oil will increase, especially in areas of the northwest United States or northeast United States. So there's a carryover effect to the natural gas situation that the globe is seeing right now. And that shift, as you mentioned, from carbon to green, there's a cost to these things. And I don't think people went in naively, for lack of a better word, that there wasn't going to be a cost or short-term pain. But the weather is a wild card in energy markets. It's always a wild card, even in green energy, where the sun has to shine and the wind has to blow in certain sectors of green energy. The weather is a wild card. And that's really where these spikes that we're seeing in both natural gas and crude oil are coming from now. You look at what's happened in the Gulf Coast with two consecutive storms hitting, a hurricane, and then a very wet tropical depression that caused production there to slow to a stall and to, in certain cases, a halt. So this is supply side driven more than demand side driven. And that's where the weakest part of the equation is.
Bob, when you look at import capacity in a place like Europe, it's actually gone up for natural gas over the last decade or so. If you look at the data that's been put out, I mean, we've had the Global Energy Monitor say that it's actually going to jump 13%, or actually they said 35% by 2030. So it feels like that the production is there in place, the projects are in place. Why did it all come to a halt now?
Well, just like many things, Akiko, the pandemic reduced the supply. We actually went through this mid-year last year with metals, for example, with copper, where there was a demand for them. The supply chain was there. The production was not. And that's currently what we're seeing in the energy markets as well. While the capacity is there to be filled, and that's completely the opposite of what happened 2 years ago, specifically in the crude oil market, where we had crude oil, especially in the United States, we didn't have the pipeline capacity or even the rail cars to ship it. It's the reverse now, especially as you mentioned, going toward Europe. The supply just simply isn't there to fill the demand. And again, the fear becomes if there's a harsh winter, there's going to be harsh price spikes. And the government only has a certain amount of ability to sort of mitigate those to the individual households, those price spikes, because again, the supply is simply not there. Now, whether or not that's going to be addressed quickly, it doesn't seem like it because the CapEx didn't take place, in part because of policy, but mostly because of the pandemic itself and the inability to produce the supply needed. Just look at the US, we're 229 billion cubic feet below the five-year average in terms of stockpiles in natural gas. That's a big number going into the winter. That's a very big number, and it's concerning.
Yeah, and when we think about kind of how this all works itself out, of course, as you mentioned, critics might point out, you know, some energy takes from the Biden administration here has kind of led to some of these issues and not being prepared. And now we're kind of waiting to see what the OPEC, what OPEC's going to do to maybe increase supply when they meet next week. You got the EIA numbers showing here, we snapped 7 weeks of inventory draws. So we did see adds there. I mean, when you kind of put all the pieces together and see the ability to maybe increase supply, as you talked about, maybe not so much here in the U.S., given the fact that we haven't seen CapEx, I mean, how limited is the upside run that we could see if we do see prices spike?
Well, there's enough oil, specifically oil, and to a certain degree, natural gas, within the OPEC nations to make up where the demand is now. What it can't make up for is the growth in demand. And you mentioned the EIA, the IEA out of Paris, pushed up their 2022 and 2023 demand expectations based on economic growth. These things will slow. Again, they can slow from the supply side. So there has to be pressure put on OPEC, and OPEC may respond verbally to pressure, but then there's always sort of a gap between what they say they're going to produce and what they do produce. Sometimes it's over what they say, sometimes it's under, and that becomes almost a bigger wild card than the weather. I don't think, again, that the administration specifically was naive to this problem. I think the weather wild card is the biggest thing. Take a look at U.S. refinery utilization, for example. We're now back in that 80% range. We're going to get another figure tomorrow. That was based on a hurricane and a tropical depression, as well as the refinery turnaround that's coming in. That's something that can't be planned for.
When you think about some of these climate ambitions that have been laid out by many countries, so much of it is predicated on supply and demand in the market. So the thinking is that if you reduce supply in fossil fuels, that spikes the price and eventually accelerates the transition to renewable energy. You think what we're seeing right now is going to have that intended impact?
Not in the short term, again, because it's supply side. I think that the equation is correct. It's going to increase the demand for renewables. But again, you're going to fall into a supply crunch there. And there's only so much that can be mitigated. Again, it's just like any other equation in investing, Akiko, where the risk and reward have to be balanced. In this particular case, the risk of climate change is not necessarily balanced with the cost of what it's going to take, at least in the individual consumer's mind. If they can't heat their homes this winter, they're going to vote against climate mitigation policies. And that, I think, is where the problem lies, because again, it's a supply issue. The wild card of the weather we have now, the wild card of the pandemic was the problem.
Yeah, so you're hoping the wind blows, but not too hard out there as we approach the winter months here to establish some more disturbances. Bob Iacino, Path Trading Partners co-founder and chief market strategist. Appreciate you taking the time here to chat with us again. Be well.